Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stay tuned and join in the conversation. You can give us a call. The telephone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free number. You can give us a call with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you tonight, and let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to come before you and just to pray to bless the program, use it for your glory tonight. Thank you for the day today that we could celebrate Palm Sunday and we could commemorate the triumphant entrance of Christ into Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago. But Lord, as we think about that and we think of the events of the week, the Passion Week as we call it today, we just pray that it might help us and remind us to remember what Jesus did to purchase our salvation at that time. Father, just pray that you bless now. Use the program for your glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome to the program tonight. And I'll tell you what, it's felt here in northeastern Ohio more like we're getting ready to start February, I think. It's been cold here this weekend, the last couple of days. We had over a half inch of snow on my back porch on Friday, and driving up to the station tonight, driving through a mixture of rain and snow, and I guess I'm not sure what the temperature is. I didn't check that, but it's been a long, hard winter. I'm ready to move down to Florida, and maybe we can relocate our broadcast from the station here in just outside of Cleveland at AM 1220 WHKW, the Word. Maybe we'll relocate, I think, next year we can relocate down to Tampa out of the studios of AM 570 WTBN and 910 AM there in Faith Talk Radio there in Tampa, Florida. That would be nice after this past winter. I could see why my grandmother used to go to Tampa every winter. Of course, other than the fact that my aunt lived there too. But that's beside the point. Any rate, we're glad to have you with us here today. And as I said, it's Palm Sunday. And, you know, March is coming to an end. April's going to start on Wednesday. That'll be April 1st. But Palm Sunday is today. And next week from today, we commemorate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we'll be talking about that a little bit here tonight. And maybe we'll work through some of the timeline here this evening. But as always, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you here this evening. You can give us a call, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We have Jeremiah calling in. And Jeremiah, you're first up tonight. Welcome to the program.
I have my trusty King James Bible.
Yes, sir.
Open to the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 43-46.
All right. Luke chapter 23, you said?
Yeah, 23, verse 43.
Okay, let me get turned over here as well. Let's see. We're looking at the part where Jesus is talking to the thief on the cross.
Right.
And he said in verse 43, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt thou be with me in paradise."
Then all the way to 46.
All right. And then it says, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost."
Now, when he said he gave up the ghost,
mm-hmm.
That means he gave up his spirit?
That means, the spirit of Jesus Christ, the life force of Jesus Christ that gave life to the body that he inhabited, that he was tabernacled in the incarnation. he left that body, and that body died in the very real sense, just as if you or I was to die, our spirit and our soul would leave that body, and that body would collapse lifeless. It would be dead. And yes, Jesus was completely dead. And of course, that is in contradiction to the false theory that he only passed out on the cross. He was in a coma. He wasn't really dead. But yeah, that's what it's talking about there, because in the incarnation, a human body was created within the womb of Mary, and that God himself tabernacled or inhabited, dwelt in that body. And he dwelt in that body until here on the cross where he died. The sixth hour would be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because that would be sixth hour of the day. And on the calendar at that time, on the daytime at that time, because they didn't have clocks like we have today, the first hour of the day was always when the sun came up. That was always 6 a.m. And when the sun went down, that was always sunset. And so the daylight hours were divided into 12 hours, and noon, of course, being at the top of the, when the sun was at its highest, and then when the sun was midway between the noon position and the evening position, that would be 3 o'clock. And so the ninth hour, of course, then would be six would be 12. I'm sorry. And it was 12 until 3. So there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. So the ninth hour, I guess, would be, I have to visualize a clock here, clock face. I get that right? 6 in the morning plus 6, that would be 12, right?
Right.
And it was darkness at the sixth hour, darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The ninth hour would be at 3 in the afternoon. So I had that right. And at 3 in the afternoon, that's right, that's when Jesus died on the cross. And he left the body that he inhabited, and he descended into the lower parts of the earth, the Bible says, and led captivity captive. And so that's what happened there. He gave up the ghost. He died. The body was now lifeless. He did not inhabit it any longer until the resurrection.
And then they took his body off the cross and
right.
Put it some kind of a, some kind of robe or something?
They wrapped a cloth around it and put a napkin or a cloth over his head and laid him in a tomb, which was like a cave, and then they rolled a stone in front of it. And then later on, they went and had it sealed with a mortar that hardened like cement.
My next question is, after when Jesus ascended from, went to heaven and came back from heaven, and he took away the stone to go inside, to come out of the, remove the stone. Is it true that the guards that were guarding the stone, that they were in a coma after the earthquake?
Well, what happened was Jesus did not roll the stone away. And, a lot of people are going to have Easter cantatas and Easter pageants and passion plays and things of that nature. And the best one I ever saw was at a church in Brunswick, Ohio one time, a Baptist church there. And they had this tremendous production. And they had this, a great, absolutely fantastic scene where Jesus was in the tomb and all of a sudden they had the drums rolling to make like thunder and flash the lights and everything, and they turned a fog machine on, the stone rolled away, and then they had a light inside of the tomb shining out, and Jesus comes striding majestically out of the tomb. I said, well, it was a great scene, and it just made the hair stand up almost. It was so moving, except it was wrong, because the Bible says that Jesus was already gone. When the stone was rolled away, an angel rolled it away, and the tomb was empty. And so Jesus had already been resurrected before the stone was rolled away. And we'll probably talk about that a little bit more next week on next Sunday's program. But yeah, the stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away to let us see that Jesus already rose from the tomb. Remember, the women came and there was an earthquake and the stone was rolled away. And at that time, the guards fell down as dead men. They fainted dead away. I mean, they were alive. They didn't die, but they fainted at the sight, and it frightened them greatly. And, of course, then when the stone was rolled away, they looked inside, and there was nobody inside of the tomb anymore. Let's see here. It says in, let me look at Matthew chapter 28 here, verse 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 2, it says, I'll start in verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. So you read from the other disciples, it was still dark when they first arrived. And it says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And this is where they fainted, hardened soldiers, they fainted. And then it says, the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Notice what the angel says. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. And then the angel says, come see the place where the Lord lay. See, the angel came. It wasn't Jesus that rolled it away. The angel came, rolled the stone away, and invited the people to look inside to see that Jesus wasn't there. So there's no majestic striding of Jesus out of the tomb, you know, and the keepers, the guards fainting dead away. They fainted because of the earthquake and the appearance of the angel that rolled the stone away.
Right. Well, I appreciate your teaching.
Yeah, and again, I encourage people to read the Bible. Because when we do that, we see some of these truths that are important to know how these things worked out.
And now I'm going to get back into the Word now.
All righty. All right. Well, I appreciate your call tonight, Jeremiah. Thank you. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is our phone number tonight. And we have Nancy calling in next. Nancy, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call.
That
was
good evening.
Very good. Thank you. That was a really good rundown about the truth of the Bible regarding the stone being rolled away. Thank you. Now, my question concerns the Lord's Supper, which we had at our Church Bible Baptist Temple this evening.
Yeah, we did that this morning. So.
Oh, you had it in the morning?
Yeah, we always do it. The Bible says as oft as you do this, and in our church, we do it at least once a year. Sometimes we do it other times, but we do it on Palm Sunday. That's just a decision we made some time ago.
You and Pastor Andy must have the same mindset, because we have it a couple times a year. But my question was about 1 Corinthians 11:28, let a man examine himself.
Okay.
And let
me get turned over there.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 11:28. Mm-hmm. 28.
All righty.
But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, and not discerning the Lord's Supper. And many become weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I guess that means die.
Right.
For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Now, how do you determine if you are worthy or unworthy? Because I know a couple of people that I've known over the years, and they never take communion. So I guess that they must think that they're in a continuous state, of sin. I mean, how do you determine? Because, the Bible says, 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So everybody sins.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you could just expound on that. I'm just a little bit hazy on that.
Sure. Clear up a couple things with that here. We read through this passage. I read this every time that we observe the Lord's Supper, because I want people to be reminded of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea here, people eating and drinking unworthily. There's
mm-hmm.
two ways that we can partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily. One
mm-hmm.
way is if we're not saved, okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
if,
yes. Absolutely.
If we're not saved, then we really have no part in it.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is clearly teaching here. If you look up in verse 24, It says, as he talks about the bread, and he says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." It's a picture. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's a picture of the body of Christ. And that's why we use unleavened bread, because leaven is a type of sin, and Jesus knew no sin. He had no sin nature. And then when he lifted up the cup, there at the end of verse 25, he said, "This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Mm-hmm. Well, he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me."
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a reminder. And we use fermented grape juice because fermentation is a process of decomposition. And just like with the leavening agent, that is a process of decomposition as well. And and of course, Jesus' blood was uncorrupted blood. It was incorruptible. He had no sin. And then again in verse 26, he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he comes." So it's a showing of it. It is not gaining salvation. It is not helping keep yourself saved. It is merely a picture, just like baptism, that you identify with the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, where he gave his body to be broken for us, and he allowed his blood to be shed to pay for our sins. Now, somebody that's unsaved and partaking of the Lord's Supper, in a sense, that's a mockery of it, because if they've not put their faith in Christ as their Savior, they have no part in it. It's a meaningless observance for them.
You know, I just wanted to say, I should have clarified my question. I did. I wanted discernment about somebody that is saved.
Right, that's what I'm coming to.
Okay.
So I wanted to clarify. That's the first part.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, for the saved person, that's who Paul is addressing here in verse 29 or verse 28, rather. But let a man examine himself. Mm-hmm. And, well, actually, you could make the case of unsaved person there, too. But as you go through that, it's clear that he's talking about saved people, because he says in verse 33, "Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another." And and he talks about judging ourselves, lest we be judged. And in verse 32, he talks about that judgment being the chastening of the Lord. And if you tie that in with Hebrews chapter 12, in verses 5 through 11 or so, that talks about how God chastens his children. So if you're saved, you're going to be chastened. Now, we all sin. Paul said that he sinned. He said he did things he knew he shouldn't do, didn't do things that he knew that he should do. And so we sin. And like you said in 1 John, if we say we have no sin, we lie. We're deceiving ourselves.
Amen.
So we do sin. But here's the thing. We can sin and we can say, "Lord, I know that I'm messing up in this area of my life. Lord, I know I'm not right in this area in my life. Lord, help me to do better. Help me to overcome this." We can do that as a believer. Or as a believer, we can allow sin to creep into our life and we can say, "Well, Lord, you know, stop bothering me about this. I really don't want to change this area." We hold on to our past sin, and there we're going to be in danger of chastening. Because the chastening is not punishment for sin. The chastening is to get our attention so that we'll get serious about it and quit the sin. So when we tarry at the Lord's Supper, you don't have to be perfect to take the Lord's Supper. You have to be saved. And you have to be willing to surrender yourself to the Lord. And when you examine yourself, some people are more honest than others, and they say, "You know what, Lord, I'm not right in this area, and I've not yielded this part of my life over to you like I should." So at least I can be honest with myself and with you and not take the Lord's Supper. Because I would be, in a sense, mocking you. And eating and drinking, when he says eating and drinking damnation to himself, that's not called sending you off into the lake of fire.
No.
That's not called losing your salvation. That just means condemnation.
Okay.
You're condemning yourself. You're saying that you're wrong in doing. I mean, you're eating and drinking condemnation to yourself. Because you're going to be, you know, God's going to not going to commend you for it. He's going to condemn you for that action.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to come under the chastening of the Lord, which could result in sickness. That's where he said, this caused many are weak and sickly among you. And for sin that we won't allow the Lord to deal with us over, and we continue to stubbornly stick to it, sometimes he just ends our life early.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
the sleeping part.
But
if we're willing to judge ourselves
mm-hmm.
and say, Lord, this isn't right. I know I've resisted you in this area. I surrender that to you right now. We
mm-hmm.
can get that right. That's why we tarry one for another, so that we can
mm-hmm.
pray, give a chance for one another to pray, get their hearts right with God. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean you're going to
mm-hmm.
leave and be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that before partaking of the Lord's Supper, you should say, Lord, you know, I know I'm not right. I confess
mm-hmm.
my sin. Help me to do better. Help me
mm-hmm.
to not hold on to sinful habits and nature. Help me
mm-hmm.
to be more and more Christ-like in my dealings, my attitude, and
mm-hmm.
all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Holy Spirit brings things to your mind. Confess
mm-hmm.
it as sin. Ask God to help you get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then God might just give you peace to
mm-hmm.
Participate in the Lord's Supper.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well,
but if he doesn't give you peace, then that's fine.
So if you don't have peace, you should not take the Lord's Supper.
Right.
You have to have peace in your heart. Yeah.
I think you should have
some
peace.
Some people are so self-condemning. They, you know, look upon so many things as being sin that it might not even be. You know, some people are just condemn themselves or criticize themselves to excess.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just wonder if some people that are overly critical of themselves, I know we're supposed to examine ourselves, but then they don't benefit from the Lord's Supper because they, like, you know, practically never take
yeah.
it. So I was just concerned about those people, and if you could give me some insight on that.
It's like I tell our church, that's between you and the Lord.
Okay.
I present mm-hmm. the information, and then right there it says,
mm-hmm.
that we should examine ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Let a man examine himself.
Mm-hmm.
I have to examine myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even though I'm the pastor, I have to examine myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to judge myself in light of the Holy Spirit's leading. So
yeah, we're certainly not going to share all our
right.
sins with everybody. So you have to examine yourself in private. Okay, well,
right.
thank you very much. That was a great explanation.
Appreciate
thank
the
you.
Call tonight.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a blessed evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You too.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
thank
again,
you.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We got a few minutes left before our break. We're going to be on till midnight tonight, and we've got some more callers waiting. Hold on, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. Let's try Ben first off here. And Ben, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
The resurrection of Jesus.
Yes.
When he was on the cross, there was that long night, and in Joshua, I think there was the long day,
right?
And
right.
then there was the time where the sun, you know, the sun went backwards.
Right, with King
dial.
Hezekiah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you? I read this once. Have you heard of the Aboriginal stories of long days and long nights around the globe?
Yeah, there's been stories in various cultures, and I've seen some of that in the past. And like you said, there are two times. There's the King Hezekiah, where the sun, actually the shadow of the sun went backwards. The sundial went backwards. I think it was 10 degrees or something. And then, of course, like you said, with Joshua, so that they could continue the battle. The thing with Jesus on the cross, it wasn't really a long night. It was the 3 hours of darkness in the afternoon. Which in and of itself is enough to prove it wasn't an eclipse, a solar eclipse, like some people try to say.
Worldwide.
That's another part of it, too. But see, a solar eclipse, even when you have a total eclipse where it gets dark in the middle of the day, it only lasts for a couple of minutes, not for hours. And like you said, it wouldn't be worldwide. And the other problem with that is it was the time of the full moon. You can have a lunar eclipse during a full moon, but it's physically impossible to have a solar eclipse during the time of the full moon. A solar eclipse occurs during the time of the new moon, and so the moon is just physically in the wrong part of the sky to have a solar eclipse. It's just a physical impossibility. So this was a miraculous darkness. And like you said, the Aborigines in Australia, there's other cultures, other parts of the world that have myths and legends of these various periods. And I remember taking a sociology course way back in the early 80s, and they said that the more common that a myth or a legend is, the more likely it's based on something that really happened.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I've seen a map of where the sun would have been a long day to people and where it would have been a long night based on, you know, the normal, it was curves and...
Yeah. Well, and last week ago, Friday, there was a total solar eclipse, but we didn't see it here. But if you were up in the northern part of Scotland, for instance, or I think the northern part of, say, Finland or Sweden, you would have seen it.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to make sure I didn't come across some weird article years ago and read it, but somebody else heard about it. But, yeah, it's kind of interesting stuff that...
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just want to touch base on that.
Yeah, see, you piqued my interest there, too. I'm going to have to look up some more on that sometime. Maybe this coming week, that would be interesting to follow up some more on that. But yes, that's a good point. I appreciate that.
Okay, God bless.
And well, God bless. Thank you for the call. Bye. And of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got just less than 30 seconds before the break here. And got another caller calling in. And let's go ahead and take Johnny. Oh, we don't have time. Johnny, if you can hold on. I thought we might get you for a moment here, but I don't think we have time. So stay tuned, and if you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll join up here in just a few minutes. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we'll be with you here until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We're going to get to our callers here in just a moment. Reminder that we're brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, and I want to point out, forgot to mention last half hour, you can always visit our website for the program at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. We have past programs available there to listen to, and some articles and different things on there, some materials on there. Also, it links to our Facebook page. You can click on that link, follow our Facebook page, and like us on Facebook, and I try to keep some things posted up on there as well. And so that's livewithpastoral.com. Also links to our church website as well at livewithpastoral.com. And, of course, brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. They're located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And also, if you're outside of the area or if you're in the Cleveland area, wherever you're at listening, if you're interested in getting in the pizza business yourself, let me suggest that you give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. That's East Coast Pizza, Garfield Heights. Takeout or delivery, 216-341-9100. Or call and ask for Gus if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself and starting your own business there where you live. All right, getting back to our program here this evening. And we have next up Johnny, who has been patiently waiting over the break there. Johnny, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Glad to have you tonight.
Glory to God, Pastor Al.
Hi. Amen.
And thank God for the ministry. I don't know the scripture or the verse, but this concerns a statement that was made in one verse, and it was saying, is there a bomb in Gilead? They're referring to medication.
Gilead was known for its this healing balm. Remember, they didn't have, you know, the medications that we have today.
Yes.
Yeah, and when I was growing up, we had this, my mom had this thing. I'm trying to think, it was a little tin thing. It was in the medicine cabinet. Clovertine balm or something like that. Maybe you've seen that too. And it used to be in this little metal thing. And like if you had a scrape or something like that, she would rub that on and it would help heal. It would cover the wound. And it had, I think, something, I don't know what all it had in it. I think it might have had some menthol in it and some different things. And it was a healing balm. That's what it was, B-A-L-M, balm. And they used some of the same things. They had these, Gilead was a place that I believe, if I remember correctly, that was known for that. In Jeremiah refers to the balm of Gilead. In Jeremiah 46:11, he says, go up into Gilead and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain shalt thou use many medicines, or thou shalt not be cured. And so it's talking about the balm there in terms of a medication of some sort. And then I think this is the one you were talking about, Jeremiah 8:22, where it says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? And so they were renowned for this healing balm that people would seek. You know, they would buy it. They would seek it for relief from scrapes and burns and things of that nature. And he is saying it's not going to be sufficient for the pain and the suffering that they're enduring.
Mm-hmm. But so, it was a good thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it was something that. You know, if you scraped yourself, if you cut yourself, burned yourself, all those would have been very common injuries. They still are today when you're cooking. You know, a lot of people have like an aloe plant growing, you know, in their kitchen.
I got one on my porch.
Right, right. And if you burn yourself, you know, you can take a little piece of that, and it's got that thick, you know, thick, almost like an ointment inside the leaf. Mm-hmm. And that's a balm. That's a balm. And you put it on a burn, and it does wonders for if you get spill some hot grease on yourself, grab a hot pan, or even a sunburn. It does wonders. And so in Gilead, it would have been something possibly using some form of olive oil and maybe some form of another type of a grease or oil with some herbs and things in it. And they use that as a healing balm, put it on sores, put it on scrapes, cuts, burns, and all of that. And it would promote healing, just like we do today. And
So we know. That the adversary did not provide this for us, but the Father of Life, who all good things come down
exactly
to the Father of Life.
Yeah, right? You even see Jesus when he gave the parable, remember, of the Good Samaritan? And, mm-hmm. and what did he do? He took the man in into the inn, and he poured on his wounds oil and wine, mm-hmm. remember? And mm-hmm. kind of like a healing balm in a sense. And we still have that. I mean, we're a little more advanced today. You know, you get, it's an antibacterial ointment that people get.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and people put that on, you know, you get that, and people have a tube of that in the medicine cabinet or something. Your kids
all the time
get a bug bite or something like that, and triple antibiotic. Type ointment. There's various brand names, and you put it on, it heals. And, you know, really, if you think about this, this is amazing when you think about it. You're absolutely right. God created these things that we would have these medicines.
That's right.
You know, penicillin, which is talking about antibiotics, penicillin was one of the first antibiotics that was discovered, and it's basically green bread mold. I had a tremendous growth of penicillin growing on a loaf of bread at the house about a week ago. I had a loaf of French bread. It wasn't dried out. It was still just sort of soft, and almost the whole surface of it turned green. I would have thrown it out earlier, but I was kind of fascinated watching it. It goes back to my biology background, and it turned a beautiful shade of green. So,
I feel so bad throwing away bread, but when bread stay on the shelf for 30 days, past the house,
there's something wrong with it. Now, this bread was only about a week old.
You know, but, you know, and there's another thing. In the scripture, it's given descriptions, you know, like Luke, Peter was a fisherman and some of the other disciples. It was no professional people, to say educated people, mentioned up in there, but he did mention Luke. And
Luke was a doctor and a historian.
Right.
Probably the closest thing to a professional, like a what we call today, you know, Peter was like a blue collar. He was a laboring man.
Yeah,
he was a fisherman,
right?
Yeah,
right, right.
And also Andrew, his brother, and James and John, and all that. But Matthew was kind of a white collar worker. Remember, he was a tax collector.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a pretty broad thing, and then of course,
Luke.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying. Yeah, Luke was a doctor, a historian, and then of course when Paul came along, he was a very educated man. He definitely would have been an educated professional.
He was.
Yeah.
But you know the thing that gets me is. Basically, all the major religions, religious people, I'm not a religious person. I simply believe the word of God.
Amen. That's what God asks us to be, a believer.
they have hospitals and this and that and other, but they teach that you shouldn't go to the doctor. You're supposed to pray. Of course, you're supposed to pray that the Lord would be in it, that you would be here, even if there was a big bomb in Gilead. If God wasn't in it, you still wouldn't get here. But He did provide a bomb in Gilead for you to use. You know what I mean? I see. I spoke to my pastor about that this morning. I asked her, because you're the nurse, you know, and it just surprised me, because I'm basically an educated man who would be the first one to say woe unto me.
Right.
You know, because I am, you know, I forget his name, who got a glimpse of God.
Oh, like Paul when he was caught up into the third heaven?
No, this was the one who got the coal stuck to his lips.
Oh, was that Isaiah or Ezekiel, wasn't it? One of the two.
Isaiah.
I think it was Isaiah. Yeah.
And he saw how they looked to see the glory of God and the wilderness of God. What would you feel like? A pile of dung.
Yeah, he said, woe unto me.
I just thank the Lord for your for your ministry, Pastor.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
I pray that it prospers and keeps going on, because truth.
Yes.
You know.
Well, we could not do this without prayers of people like you. That's everybody else gets on the air and asks for your money. I'd rather, I was a missionary. My wife and I were missionaries. We planted a church in the Samoan Islands back in the 1990s. One thing I learned from that, above all else, you need prayers of God's people more than money. You really do. You cannot serve God without people praying for you.
God provide. You don't have to ask for it. Now, I got to send something. I don't know. I'm retired. I get a certain amount of money. I have to give. I spread it around, but I have to give. You know, giving to me, it's just second nature. You know, I learned how to tithe. You know,
yeah.
I don't even know about that, but God blessed me so much. I ask Him, Lord, bless me that I would be a blessing. I always got $2 more than I need.
Amen.
You know what I mean? I got everything I need, clothes and house, shelter, food. I don't need any more. I got more than two pair of pants. You know what I mean?
Amen.
I just thank the Lord, and I thank the Lord for the program.
Hey, I appreciate that. I appreciate it. God bless you, and have a great week this week. And call us back again sometime. Appreciate that.
I
want to thank you for that call. All right, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is our telephone number. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call. We've got Claudia coming up next. And Claudia, thank you for waiting. We appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Thank you for everything, Pastor Al. I wanted to ask you, I had heard today at church that there's supposed to be a blood moon on Friday.
Yes, I believe so, because it's Passover starts, and Passover starts with the first full moon after the spring equinox, which was not quite a week ago.
Okay.
I believe it was, and Passover always starts on that full moon, and that full moon will be on Friday. What is that? April the not the fourth. Is it the fourth or the third?
Fourth.
I guess it's the fourth. Yeah, I guess it's the fourth. And so that will be Passover. And then, of course, that's also, like I was speaking with the earlier caller, one of the ways that we know that there was not a solar eclipse when Jesus was crucified is because he was crucified at the time of the full moon.
Oh.
And impossible. It's physically impossible to have a solar eclipse during the full moon.
Okay.
Solar eclipses only happen during the new moon. So what they call the blood moon tetrad, and we touched on this briefly last week, is the idea. Now, a blood moon is nothing more than a lunar eclipse, and it gets that term because it gets kind of a blood color, a coppery color, or orangey-red color. It varies a little bit.
Yeah.
But the unique thing is that it occurs on... In this particular case, there's been a pattern of these that have gone back, I think, back to the year 32 and 33. And since that time, this will be, I believe, the eighth time that there has been a series of lunar eclipses, total lunar eclipses, that have occurred on Passover in one year, followed by Tabernacles the same year, these feasts, Jewish feasts, And then the next year, the very next year, again on Passover and Tabernacles. Now, having four lunar eclipses in one year is not at all unusual. But the unusual thing is being on these two Jewish feast days each year in a row, and no partial lunar eclipses in between, no other total lunar eclipses in between. And so last year we had one on the 15th of April and the 8th of October. That was Passover and then Tabernacles. This year we're having one again on Passover on the 4th of April. And you notice how the dates change around quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And then it'll be the 28th of September will be the Tabernacles lunar eclipse. And these occur now. Some people read a lot into these, probably more than what needs to be read into them. But it is something that gets one's attention, and it's been pointed out that in the 1400s, remember Columbus sailed in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. We all know that little rhyme from school. Yeah. Well, shortly after that, in 1493, we had a series of total lunar eclipses on Passover and Tabernacles, and then again in 1494. The next time that happened was in 1949 in April and October, and then in 1950 in April and September. That's another tetrad, and tetrad because there's four in a row.
Okay.
And, of course, at that time was, and I look at it this way, if you want to make a progression here, and this is just going back to the 1400s one, the New World was rediscovered, and that was a place which became a sanctuary for the Jewish people escaping persecution in Europe.
Yeah.
And then in the 1949-1950 Blood Moon Tetrad, that was after Israel became a sovereign state again and provided a state for the Jewish people.
Yeah.
In the 1967-1968 Blood Moon Tetrad, that was around the time frame where Israel captured Jerusalem and the Temple Mount, the site of the sanctuary for the temple for the Jewish people.
Okay.
And just following that that progression, one could look at the tetrad that we're involved in right now, the 2014-2015 tetrad, as possibly being suggestive that maybe this is the time, and this is just my pure speculation, that maybe they'll try to rebuild the sanctuary, rebuild the temple.
Yeah.
And that's a possibility. Some people have said, no, that means the Lord is going to return this year, or the rapture is going to take place this year. Now, of those two, the rapture returning this year is a possibility. The Lord is not going to return and set up his kingdom this year because we have to have the seven-year tribulation period yet.
Yes.
But we had a caller last week, and he made a good point with this. People get too worried about these things, too caught up in these things, and it's entirely possible that we're reading things into this, trying to see something there that might not actually be there. But as I said previously, it makes us start to look at the Bible.
And think. That's
yeah,
correct.
And think.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'm always reminded of what Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, when you see these things begin to happen, and that's events that would signify his return, that we should lift up our heads because our redemption draweth nigh. So I think that this is, if nothing else, even if all this other stuff is just so much coincidence, so much guesswork, it does get people wondering about
thinking.
These things.
That's correct.
And looking into the Bible.
Yes, I do thank you, and God bless you. And
thank you very much
for teaching us.
I appreciate that. And
thank you, sir. Have a good night.
You too. And again, on our website, livewithpastoral.com, I do have, I was just looking through here, and if you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, and scroll down the center column there, down to an entry for 12 April 2014, April 12, 2014. You'll see comments about it, and also again on April 9th, 2014. and you'll see a listing of blood moon tetrads occurring on Passover and Tabernacles in two successive years, going back to the year 32 and 33, which one could say, well, that's kind of coincidental, isn't it, that that happened about the time that Jesus would have been crucified. And then, of course, I'm not 100% sure. I'm sure people have worked out some of these and some things for the 162, 163 tetrad, the 795, 796 tetrad, the 842, 843 tetrad. There's the 860, 861 tetrad. And then we get up to the ones that we were talking about. Those are listed on there. You can take a look at them. You can even listen to the program that we had dealing with that. That's listed on there. That's live@pastoral.com. And just scroll down, 9th of April, 2014 entry, 12th of April, 2014 entry. You'll see some comments on it and a link to a program. I chatted with somebody about this, and he brought up some good points. But like I said, the main thing is Luke chapter 21, in starting in verse 25, the Bible says, "And there shall be signs in the moon and in the or in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory." And that's the return at the end of the tribulation. And then Jesus says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And that's a reminder that he's coming for us to catch us away. We refer to that event as the rapture prior to the tribulation. And so at least it gets us thinking about that, doesn't it? So, well, I appreciate that call. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got a few minutes left in the program yet, 888-677-9673. And let me mention a couple things here real quick before we run out of time here on the program. If you do not have a place to attend church and you're in the Northeast Ohio area, we're located right exactly midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio, right where Interstate 80 and Interstate 77 cross. In fact, we meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road. We can look out the window where we meet, and we can see the toll booths on the Ohio Turnpike. That's Interstate 80. And at the driveway for the hotel, you can see the entrance ramp to 77 and 80. And so that's how close we are. It's right there. It's not like get off the highway and drive 10 miles, look for a certain landmark and drive another 10 miles. We are right there off Interstate 77 and Interstate 80, Northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio. Invite you to come and visit us this Sunday if you don't have a place to attend church and celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ with us. And again, most importantly, we want you to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if we can be of help, please contact us, visit our church, come to one of our Bible studies. We have a Bible study there every Friday night at the Holiday Inn Express there in Richfield. We meet every Friday night at 7 o'clock for a two-hour informal Bible study. You don't have to stay the whole 2 hours, but most people do. And we'd love to have you and give you a chance to explore God's Word. And be sure and join us on our program here. We're here every Sunday night at 11 till midnight, and every Friday on AM 1220, The Word, from 1:30 until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. All that's available on our website, livewithpastoral.com. Well, good night, God bless, and have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Litchfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.